That was great. I felt like the first song I got a workout, and then that song kind of broke through some things spiritually, spiritual workout. But how we're speaking tonight is that this whole summer, Tori's been talking about, man, if I had an opportunity to speak at a midweek boost, you know, I would take it. You know, if somebody asked me, I would do it. And, of course, when you start saying things like that, it happens, and, he got invited to, and, I'm just opening up for him tonight. I'm not gonna steal the show, Tori. No, but I talked to my parents last night, just to give you guys an update about everything. Talked to them last night, and, it was actually 3:30 over there in the afternoon, and they had done, two morning sessions already, and my mom had spoke on the face of grace. And she said it went over really well, that the people came up to her with tears in their eyes saying, this is what we've been missing, this is what we've needed. And then my dad spoke on, some Pastor Nate before, he spoke on the power to be a witness. And he was supposed to be following the outline, but my mother said he read one scripture and then just went off into his own thing. But praise the Lord, I think he was up at 4 in the morning, so, you know, he's in his excuse. But tonight we are filling in for them, and hope you guys enjoy it. But let's turn over to Romans 5. When I was preparing for tonight, figuring out what I wanted to say, you know, there's a lot of, you get an opportunity like this, and there's a lot of things you could say, but what should you say? And so, something that's been stirring on my heart, something that I normally don't like to talk about, because I just don't know, you know, I don't know it all myself, but I've gotten a lot more insight recently, is about God's love. And His love compels us. And so I've been meditating on this, and so this is what we're going to talk about tonight. But let's go ahead and put that up on the screen, Romans 5:5. All right, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. Keep going. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good. But God, here's the kicker, but God showed His great love for us by sending His Son Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And so you see, it says God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die. God demonstrated His love for us. It was an active demonstration. He loved us and then He did something about it. And you see it throughout the Bible over and over that God's love wasn't just like, oh, I love you, or, you know, God loves you, Jesus loves you. It wasn't like that. It consumed Him so much that He had to act on it. He had to do something about it. And you see it consumed Him so much that it goes on to say, God is love. That's pretty consumed, you know, that His whole being, He is love. And so we see this throughout, you know, Jesus went about doing good, healing all. He was doing all this out of love. It says in Matthew 9, He had compassion on people, but it didn't just stop there. He didn't just have compassion, but He did something about it. And, you know, I think this isn't a foreign concept at Good News Church at all. The I Give Life course that we're working on, the very second topic that we cover is God's passion for people, His love for people. And, I don't think it's a foreign concept here, but it's a thing that's easy for us to get away from. Because if we're not constantly meditating on it, not constantly thinking upon it, it's easy for us to get away, because the world is full of people that aren't loving like God loved. You know, you look around, you go to school, I mean, that's where I know, you know, we have this, you know, teenage love, this, you know, this drama, but there's no real love in that, you know? And the only where it's found this real love is in God. And so, Why did God have to demonstrate His love? I think we just need to cover this. It's kind of basic. But God had to demonstrate His love because of the condition of humanity. Because man had fallen. Adam had sinned. And so because of that, God had to do something about it. Now I think a lot of people think God just kind of sits around and, you know, is up there, you know, oh, I love man. I love them. But if He had been sitting, nothing would have happened with the condition of man, you see. He had to get up and do something about it. And so, like in that verse, it was saying He had to send His Son. And by doing that, I need a volunteer. Eli, how about you come over here? In doing that, there had been a separation. Comes in right here. There had been a separation between God and man. You're man, you stay in there. And I'm God. And so, there'd been a time when all you hear was God's voice. And there was a separation. There wasn't any real relationship, any real connection. But when Jesus came, there was this connection. He broke through the wall. He opened the door, so to speak, and so that we could experience that love. We could experience all that God had to offer. And so that's why Jesus came and died. If you were confused about that tonight, I hope you're not confused anymore. Because that's very important. Because that's the key thing. Because if, when you're presenting and you're being compelled by God's love, you got to know what you're saying. And that's what you're supposed to be saying. But that was just a little bit. But his love for people consumed him so much that he had to do something about it. And like I said, you don't see many cases of this out there. You don't see in the world, there's not many cases of God's love. The only really clear description that we see is of Jesus and what he did. And, you know, because he was God, so he was so full of love that it compelled him that he couldn't let anybody go by without knowing God's love. He couldn't let any person who was sick go away still sick. He couldn't let the sinner not know who God was, you see. And it wasn't some obligation. It wasn't some religious thing. It was out of God's love. It was out of God's compassion that drove him to do this. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. And, you know, there's a lot of things in here, a lot of things from this chapter I could read, but I chose a little funny part. But 1 Corinthians 13:11, it's interesting. I don't really know why Paul put this in here, but he says, "When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly as in a cloudy mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely." Last verse. "These things will last forever, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love." Now I read that tonight because that's kind of how I was. A few years ago, I was a child. I might still be a child right now. It's debatable. But, you know, like Wesley was sharing, you know, we've grown up in this church, and I've heard about God's love for a long time. And, you know, when your parents are pastors, you know, God's love should be one of the first things, you know, you hear about. And it was. But it took me a long time before I actually experienced and knew God's love for myself, you know? And I think as Christians, a lot of times, if you don't have that big conversion or that big salvation, you know, when your transformation, a lot of times it can be difficult to really, you know, fully grasp God's love. Or, I work with Tori a lot, and so I see he was at this place, and so he appreciates God's love a lot more than I do in some cases, you understand, because this is all I've known, but he knew of a time before when there was no God's love in his life. And so, when I was younger, when I was a child, that's how I didn't understand, you know, what is God's love for, you know? I understand God loves me, and, you know, even if I mess up, God loves me, and I know he loves the guy walking down the street, and I know he loves my friends, but what is, you know, how do I use that? How can I use that to my advantage? How does that benefit me? And so, more recently in the last few years, I started to really study it. And, I would talk to people like Mr. Neal. And if you hear his story about what happened out at Thompson, if you've never heard that before, you need to go and find this man after service so he can explain it to you. But he would always talk about, you know, he meditated on God's love. And that was the key, right? That's the key. And I would hear Mr. Neal say this, and I'm like, well, I don't know, you know, maybe that's just a Neil thing, you know, he can do the whole God's love thing, and I'm just gonna go out, you know, I'm gonna go and preach the gospel, and yeah, we'll leave it at that. But as I begin to do that, I would see, when you're doing that, it's out of obligation, you almost get burned out, you know, you almost, you know, it's like, you know, like, God, why is what I'm wanting to happen not happen? And, when you don't see things from God's love, how God sees them, then that's what can happen in your life, is a lot of things start to fizzle out and you get burned out in areas. And so, like I was saying, recently I've had to meditate on it. And in meditating on it, I've seen some glimpses of God's love. Some glimpses that there is no other way for this to happen except for God's love. More recently, when we were doing an outreach for Insight down at, Central Avenue, And, you know, it was an interesting night because there wasn't a lot, we didn't have a crowd like this. There was just a lot of foot traffic, kind of people walking by. And so I saw a couple walking by and I was like, I don't know if I want to go talk to them. Cause I mean, that's just in human, and I'm being honest, you know, in your human thinking, this is what you're thinking. I don't want to, why? And so, but I thought to myself, you know, God loves those people. It was a couple, a man and a wife, and a husband and a wife. And I was just thinking, you know, God loves these people despite who they are, despite what they do. He loves them. And so who am I not to go over and talk to them, you know? Who am I not to go and do that? And so I ran across the street, ran over to them, you know, telling them, you know, we're having a service over here. Do you guys need prayer for anything? And I don't know if they were drunk or what was going on, but they were just out of it. And, you know, an older couple, and it was really funny. It was normally, before meditating on God's love, that whole situation would have gone a completely different direction. But now when I've seen, I can see things more clearly. It went the right way. It went how God planned it to go. And so I began to minister to them, prayed for them, found out some things that were going on, and just began to minister to them. And then I got to the part where we, you know, ask them if they're going to heaven when they die. And the guy just begins to cry. And I don't know how to handle it when people cry, honestly. I'm not a crier myself, so it's like, okay, man. And he begins to cry, and he's like, you know, I've just been really struggling. You know, I've been looking for something like this. This is what I've been missing in my life. And so we pray the prayer. They both get saved. They both hug each other. It was such a nice moment. But in that moment, I really saw God's heart for people, God's love for people, you know? That these people didn't do anything to deserve this, but God just loves them because they're people, you know? And so, like I was saying, who am I not to go and talk to them? Who am I not to go and share God's love to them? But when you're doing all this not out of God's love, it would go a completely different direction. It would just be what I know to say in my head. You know, this is what I've done before. This is what I'm going to do now. But when you're operating under God's love, when you're being compelled by His love, He knows exactly what people need. He knows exactly how to reach people. That's why it's important when you're going out, you need the Holy Spirit and you need God's love, because there's no other way you're going to be an effective witness than that. You can try to do stuff on your own. You can try to say good human words, but we saw in Paul's case that he didn't go with human words. He didn't go with persuasive speaking. He went with God's love and God's power, and that's where it's at. Now I've seen another glimpse. This one took me aback. This was at E3 the other night, and if you didn't come to E3, you need to come and check it out and see what got going on. Parents, we've been talking about family culture. Just make it a culture in your family, E3, you know, take them on over there. But Pastor Nate hit a part of the service where we're going to get in groups and pray for each other. And somebody had walked in at the beginning of service, and I saw them, and it was like, bam. It was just, have you ever been hit with God's love? Just like, oh, my God. And it was like, I have to talk to him during the service. I'm gonna have to go talk to him. I just have to. And because that's what God's love, when it compels you, it's a have to. It's not a maybe or anything. You got to do it. And so he set it up perfectly. Just, we're over there, sitting right over there, and we're just praying for each other. And Jose joined me, and I was like, why is Jose over here? But I found out later why. And this is a guy who's been coming to our church for a very long time, who I've known for a while, but we haven't seen him recently because he's fallen off. He's gotten into the world's ways. And, you know, I understand why. It's tough. It really is. But God doesn't want that to happen, people, because God made a way for that not to happen. And so it came to a part of the service where Pastor Nate invited people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, I kind of asked them, you know, not really expecting much of an answer. And he's like, yeah, let's do that. And, you know, I don't want to go up front, but let's go out in the hallway and do that. And so me, Jose, and this guy go out, and we're praying for him. And then like with the other guy, they just, Jose and the guy we're ministering to both just start sobbing. And I'm just standing there like, oh my God, what am I doing? And why am I not sobbing? Am I, no. And so They're just both crying. But in this moment, I just saw God's love. It was like God cares so much about this person. This person, I've heard when Mr. Neal shared about this during Insight, you know, thinking about, are people worth it? And people are worth it. They're worth God's love, you know? And in this moment, I saw that everybody in his life up until this moment had told him he wasn't worth it. He wasn't deserving of God's love. He wasn't deserving of this love. But in this moment, he met and he found God's love. And it changed his life right then and there. You know, it was a transformation, a visible transformation. He kept saying afterwards, this is what I've been waiting for. This is what I've been waiting for. I've been praying for this day. I've been believing for this. And when you believe for something like that, you're going to get met. But I'm telling you, it's God's love. God's love is the answer. God's love is the key. You know, you may have tried to witness to people before and thinking, you know, why didn't this work? Why didn't they hear what I had to say? Well, if you do it out of love, if you do it out of God's heart, if you see people how God sees them, there is no way that they can deny it. You know, there is no way they can deny it. And so, this is my part of the service. Hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah, Harry said that he wasn't too excited about the idea of about God's love. But me, I'm a touchy-feely guy, so I like talking about feelings and, you know, being pumped up by the love of God. So, Harry's talking about being compelled by the love of God. And I want to start off talking about, you know, the current success of our ministry right there. You know, if you look at it now, the pastors are going off to Fiji in Australia, and they got the I Give Life course sent off right now. And, you know, that resource right there is going to touch, you know, countless lives right now. And we talked to her last night, and she gave us a few testimonies. You know, people, they were astounded by the truth. You know, it's something that isn't coming true to them. You know, sometimes, you know, we talk about winning the loss and all that, and it really shows how it becomes redundant almost. It seems like a coming truth to the point where we almost don't appreciate it anymore. So I just want to ask this question right here. You know, we always talk about winning the loss and whatnot, and I do believe we have a great ministry. And my question to you is, how would you say that we're doing right now? How do you think we're doing? So it's not a trick question. I would say that we're doing good, but I believe that we can be doing a lot better right now. And again, with us preaching the truth all the time, talking about winning the loss and whatnot, you know, there used to be a time like the past 4 years where there were more testimonies, people going out and doing the stuff apart from the pastors, you know, doing some organized outreach. You know, God didn't intend for us God didn't intend for organized outreach to be our greatest gains. So anytime, you know, Pastor Nate or Pastor Matt or Pastor Susie, they talk about doing impact or like we just had the empowerment week, it seems like those are the only times now that we actually ever get great numbers of winning people to the lost. It seems like that's the only time we get testimonies in. And that shouldn't be the case anymore. And, you know, Harry's talking about, you know, being compelled by God's love. And I would say that if we're not on a regular basis getting testimonies of people getting won to the lost and, you know, us ministering to the sick, it doesn't indicate that, you know, we're bad Christians. It doesn't indicate that we've fallen off of God. But one thing that it does indicate is that we're not experiencing on a regular basis the love of God. So, you know, my part is I want to talk about experiencing God's love and expressing it. And I'll just use this right here. So basically, there is a better way to minister rather than just biting the bullet. You know, like Harry said, you know, he was walking by and he saw the guys on the street and he's like, oh, I feel obligated. I guess I'll go talk to him. You know, God has a better way for us to go out and win the loss rather than just biting the bullet, doing things out of sheer obligation. If you think about it, Christ, you know, God, he sent Christ, his only son, to die on the cross for the entire world. You think God was sitting on heaven, you know, saying, well, you know, there's a bunch of lost people out there. I guess I got to do something about this, you know. When God sent Christ, it wasn't something he did out of sheer obligation. And one thing I want to say about obligation is this. Obligation says you're to do what you're supposed to do simply because you're supposed to do it. But here's one thing about being compelled by the love of God. Being compelled means having an inspired conviction or convincing or evoking interest, attention, or admiration in a powerful, irresistible way. So, again, when God sent Christ, it wasn't something that he did from a grudging. It wasn't grudging for God to give Christ. He did it with passion, and it was his heart. And likewise, when we're ministering to the lost, God desires for us to share his heart, you know. So, again, we're not biting the bullet. We're not just going out doing these things for obligation. Now, I will say this. If you do go out and you do something out of obligation, it's still going to work. The word of God won't return void, you know. If you have a bad attitude and you get somebody saved, that person ain't going to hell. That person's life, their eternity is changed forever, you know. And the word of God, it won't be returned void. But again, there's a better way to minister. And I kind of want to talk about this right here, the touchy-feely part of this message right here. I'm a psychology major at ORU, and one thing I've been learning about feelings and thoughts and things of that nature is this. And you guys might want to write this down. I found this, you know, pretty interesting and pretty helpful. I've been talking to Harry about this for a long time now, probably about the past year. And like I said, if I had the opportunity to share this, then I would. So here's the thing right here. There's a difference between feelings and emotions. And the thing about feelings is, feelings are processed, or they permeate throughout the body 20,000 times faster than a thought does. So what that means is this. Based on your self-worth, how you feel about yourself, if you feel good about, let me put it this way. So based on your self-worth, before you have time to think about it, you live a life consistent with high self-esteem or high self-worth or low self-worth. So based on how you feel about yourself, it may be unconscious, but based on how your self-worth, you automatically and unconsciously live out that life. And not only do you just, you know, live a life consistent with low self-worth, but it affects the people that are around you, the people that you relate to. So based on how us Christians feel as if God may relate to us, or maybe how some self-worth that has been imposed on us by our parents, based on that self-worth, we relate to others based on the feeling of worth that we have towards ourselves. So again, you know, it may not indicate that you feel bad about yourself. If we're not winning the loss on a regular basis, what this may indicate is that we're not having a constant awareness of God's love for us. Because if you look at, I'll tell you a story right now. There's a family, there's some relatives of mine in my family, just to prove this point right here. You know, the married couple, they weren't doing so great. So every time that, you know, the husband would go out and cheat on the wife or whatever, then, you know, she would somehow, you know, use that source as a source to develop her worth. So based on how she felt, you know, that he's treating her like trash or whatever, based on how she felt, when the dad was at home at work, she would treat the kids, you know, with poor self-worth based on how she felt towards herself. And the thing about it, God is our source. People can contribute to how we feel about ourselves, but they can never become our source. So if we lose that awareness of God's love for us, then that's why, you know, we're going to be burnt out. We're not going to be reaching out to people like we ought to be. And the thing about it, I've been talking to Harry about this. The problem is, again, once we're not experiencing the love of God on a regular basis, that gives us a short fuse. You know, we can get all pumped up and do this thing like reaching the lost from an obligatory perspective. But before long, like Harry said, we're going to get burnt out. That's the thing about it. But if we have a constant awareness of God's love for us, then, you know, it's when we see somebody on the street, it's not going to be like, man, I guess I'll go talk to him. It's going to be something that we do out of the abundance of our heart, because we realize the love that God has for us. So there's a scripture that I want to read. It's in 4 John. Oh, well, that makes no sense. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 8. All right. Yeah, that's right. That's the right one. You got it up, Gray? And I'll start reading. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." And I remember when I first got saved, I used to read verse 8, and I used to think to myself, you know, they used to distort that scripture and say, well, if you're not walking in love, then that means you're not saved. That's not what the scripture is saying right there. It says, he who loves knows God. And it says, he who does not love does not know God. And the interesting thing about that word know, in the Greek, it's pronounced genosko. And the thing about genosko, it's not just about having a head knowledge of something, but it's about having a first-hand experience, a first-hand experiential knowledge. And another thing about that, that's the same Greek word used when Mary, the angel said to her, You know, a child will be born unto you. And she said, how shall this happen? I'm a virgin, for I do not know a man. And you guys know what that know means. It means to know in an intimate, in a sexual way. So that's the same way that God desires for us to have an intimate relationship with him. So if we're not, let me break, I wrote it down the way I would break it down. So he who loves is experiencing God or experiencing love. So the key to us to be constantly, you know, having a heart for those that are lost is to maintain a constant awareness of God's love for us. And I was just talking about lately what I've been doing. You know, I've been talking to Harry for this for a while now. But me, I've been meditating on God's love for a long time now. And just the past month, I haven't been telling anybody about it. But when I would make it when I would be, you know, coming to the church or going to get gas or something like that, if I would see somebody on the street, it wouldn't be out of obligation. I would just go and, you know, tell the gospel to them and get them saved. I'm doing that out of the abundance of my heart because I realize the love that God has for me. And that love is all about value. If he loved them so much that he sent his son Jesus to pay the price, I mean, we know this, to pay that price, and he died in our place, he took all punishment, took all sin, became all sickness, and if we're experiencing that, then we're automatically going to be reciprocating that. So that's kind of my take on that right there. And so, yeah, I just want to ask you guys that right now. Do you know God? Are you experiencing God right now in your daily life? Again, just kind of think about it right now. Don't. It's not to beat yourself up, but think about it. Where are you at right now in your relationship with God? Do you feel that compelling when you walk past a lost person or just a person in particular, even if they have heard? You know, I was at work one day, and I was kind of, you know, trying to muster up something to share the gospel with this guy. His name was Benny, and he had to go back to Colorado the next day. So that was going to be my last opportunity to share the gospel with him. So, you know, I'm kind of having a bad day at work. I just snapped on the guy for not doing his job and, you know, having attitude and whatnot. So at the end of the day, you know, I left. And then I finally came back, and I waited for him in the parking lot for about an hour. And I sat down, and I talked to him, and I asked him, you know, the question, and went through the gospel. And he told me, and he said, you know, stop. He told me that he was already saved. But, I mean, this guy had tears swelling up in his eyes because he's like, you know what? I'm already saved, but I just really appreciate. He said, I feel valued because you took the time. He said, I knew you clocked out and you got out of work, but you waited an hour for me to come out in the parking lot and you talked to me about Jesus. I've had this opportunity before, but I feel valued. And he's, you know, crying and thanking me that I took the opportunity to share the gospel with him. And I did that out of obligation. Again, if that guy wasn't saved, you know, I would have prayed with him. He would have got saved. Obligation works. But again, it goes back to what I was saying. There's a better way that God desires for us to minister. And that's when we're constantly abiding in the awareness of God's love for us, the value that he has for us. So that's kind of my take on it right now. And even when I go back to ORU, I got some, you know, some things on my heart that I want to do. But, you know, at first I thought about, you know, the times I may get burnt out and, you know, biting the bullet or whatever. But I don't believe that's going to happen because I'm going to be abiding in the awareness of God's love. So that's kind of my take on it right there. That's what I had to say. Hopefully you guys got something out of it. And so, yeah, I guess I'll go ahead and pray right now then. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the word that was brought forth. I thank you that your word doesn't return void. And I pray, Father, that you'll bring back to remembrance the things that were said and heard today, Father. I thank you that we have your Holy Spirit on the inside of us to teach us and to show us how to walk in truth. And I pray, Father God, that we won't be solely hearers of the word, but we'll be doers. I pray, Father, that you'll continue to enlighten the eyes of our understanding, Father God. Show us, reveal personally your love for us, your love to us and for us, Father, so that we won't just be going about biting the bullet, that we won't do things out of sheer obligation, but that we'll reach people not just because it's what we're supposed to do, not just because we're living for you, but we're living with you and that we're sharing your heart. You care about people. You have value for people. And we desire to share your heart, Father. You told us to imitate you as dearly beloved children. And that means that we do it out of the sense of being loved, out of the sense of being a dearly beloved child of God. So we declare that we are loved. We are children, sons and daughters of God. We thank you, Father, that your spirit lives on the inside of us. empowering us, compelling us. We thank you, Father, that even Jesus himself, he couldn't have done that on sheer obligation. He did it because he was moved with compassion. He looked on the people and he said that they were weary and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. So, Father, if we aren't there right now, there may be people that aren't there right now, Lord. But if that's you right now, just say this to yourself. Be willing. Just say, Lord, I'm willing to be willing. You know, there's a scripture that says that he works in us to will and to do his good pleasure. So if you're not there right now, you know, don't beat yourself up. But God, he gives you the desire. All he needs is a willing heart. He said in his word that he's looking to and fro across the earth, looking for somebody he can show himself mighty and strong in. So we have about 2 billion Christians on planet earth. I've been saying this a lot, but this needs to be heard. It's about 2 billion Christians on planet earth right now. And God is literally looking to and fro across the earth out of these billions of Christians, looking for somebody who will yield and say yes to the call of the believer. So if you're not there, you know, pray that prayer. Be willing to be willing. And, you know, he'll flood your heart with that desire. He will strengthen you. He will give you that capacity to have a heart for the lost. So, Father, we thank you that you're working in us. You're working through us. You're working with us, Father. We thank you that, again, we have all the tools and resources. We are qualified. We are empowered. We are enabled ministers. We are ambassadors for Christ. And we thank you, Father, that your love is working in and through us, compelling us, urging us, just as Christ did. We thank you. We thank you, Father. And I thank you as they go back, again, you bring to remembrance these things that were said and heard, that they won't be heard in vain, that we won't hear amiss, Father, but that we'll attend your cry. When you lead us, we won't back down, that we'll follow you every step of the way. Whenever there's a person you're leading us to, whatever it may be, we thank you, Father, that we are quick to follow you. We're quick to obey because we realize the love and value that you place on our lives. We follow you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your great love. Thank you for your great love. We're making it our responsibility to abide and to be constantly aware of your love for us. We're making it our responsibility to attend your love, to not hear about this love in vain, but we're seeking the experience that you provided for us. You desire that we know you in an intimate way, that we experience you. We have a firsthand experience of you. Like your word says that, they said that, you know, they couldn't help but tell the things they've heard and seen. And likewise with us, Father, as we have this experience with you, as we experience your love in a tangible manner, we won't be able to sit back. We won't be able to sit on our tails and do nothing. But the only option we'll have is to be compelled to go, to share your heart, to share your heart, to be one with you. That's our calling. That's our calling, to share your heart. To not only live for you, but to live with you. We thank you that your word says that we're partners. That's the intimacy that you desire for us to have. To be intimate with you. To share your heart. To be one with you, Father. So, Father, that's our heart tonight. And as we cry and as we pray to you, Father, we thank you that our prayers are heard. We thank you that you attend our prayer. You attend our cry. And we thank you, Father. You're in us. You're working in us. Say this: I'm experiencing the love of God, and I express it.